WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
What is up, Tuscaloosa, and welcome to the student section. I'm your host, Ada McGuirt, joined as always by Bennett Katz and Nick Elliott. We are super excited to be coming to you on this day after Easter. Happy Easter, guys. Bennett, did you do anything fun for Easter this weekend?
Not a whole lot. Just went to the grandparents' house, did an egg hunt, and just hung out with family. How about you guys?
Yep, pretty much the same thing.
Same thing. I mean, it's always nice to be able to go back and be with your family for Easter.
Yep, drove 2 hours one way, so it's the 4 hours on the road. Ate a lot of food that I probably shouldn't have, but had a great time. Got to see all of my extended family, so very excited. Great holiday. Watch my little cousins and family, friends hunt Easter eggs. I've kind of outgrown that naturally, you know, being at my age. But it's a fun holiday regardless. All right, some big news in the NFL came out of this Easter weekend as it was announced the Baltimore Ravens are signing Odell Beckham Jr. Now, I got to say, I did not necessarily see this coming because I had seen OBJ was scheduled to visit the New York Jets this week. And I kind of felt like they were going to land him, right? You know, you look at Aaron Rodgers is, you know, expected to be on the way, but not there yet. And add OBJ to this team with guys already like Mecole Hardman and Garrett Wilson, Alan Lazard. That would be quite a dynamic wide receiver room. But the Baltimore Ravens swoop in with what appears to be a significantly better offer, a one-year deal with $15 million guaranteed. There are incentives to get up to $18 million, whether or not those are, you know, easy to get incentives or win the Super Bowl, you know, it will have to see as more details of the contract come out. But as of right now, OBJ is on the Ravens with a $15 million guaranteed contract for this upcoming season. All right, so let's get your reaction to this, guys, especially when you consider Lamar Jackson is still not necessarily a part of the team. His future with the Baltimore Ravens up in the air. Does this make maybe Baltimore more attractive to go back to? Nick, what do you think?
Yeah, for sure. I think it is. I mean, Lamar Goody posted on his Instagram that he was FaceTiming with Odell. I think if he didn't sign that, I mean, he wanted Lamar on that team or wanted Odell on that team. And when you can have all these sources and all this stuff, but when players say something, they're going to this team, and a player will go by that word. And when they sign that contract, I mean, Odell is just using that Lamar deal that Lamar never got, so or money from that Odell deal is probably money that could have gone to the Lamar deal. But Lamar will definitely be staying in Baltimore, hopefully. I mean, maybe with all the money that they didn't sign Lamar with, maybe they go out and actually sign more receivers or more weapons for Lamar. I'm just glad that he finally got a receiver, an elite receiver that was going to win Super Bowl MVP before he got tore his ACL.
Yep, I completely agree with you. This is a good move. You know, Baltimore has not done a very good job of drafting receivers, and they can't really attract a lot of great receivers. Well, so, Bennett, what are you thinking when you see this deal, OBJ coming to the Ravens with Lamar Jackson's future still up in the air?
I think Odell is still one of the better receivers in the NFL. He proved that a couple years ago back with the Rams when they added him. They went on that Super Bowl run and ended up winning it. So you add Odell to the Ravens. That's something that the Ravens have been missing. Nick, you were saying the Ravens haven't had – what was the stat?
They haven't had a Pro Bowl wide receiver that wasn't a kick returner. So that just proves that they have not been a destination for wide receivers, and hopefully Odell can be the one that changed that, and hopefully they go out and sign or draft another receiver, because you can't have enough targets around you. You need more weapons.
You know, I think I saw Rich Eisen today talking on his show – about this, or it might have been Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk, but they were asking why not, you know, just go all in and trade for DeAndre Hopkins at this point, you know?
Yeah, his contract's too big.
Yeah,
well, that's the main reason why that Cardinals are probably going to have to cut him, because nobody wants to have to take on that big of a contract.
Well, look, they're paying OBJ $15 million, and he didn't play last season, and he's torn his ACL twice now, so doesn't seem to be a big problem for them.
Yeah, I don't know. I think they just don't want to take on that full contract. They're only paying Odell for a year. I mean, I know that's like 30 – what, that's like 30 – a little like 33 million. So, it's, I mean, still out of money, but it's just like – I think what probably DeAndre Hopkins making like what $28 million a year at least. So I mean, I think just the deal they were able to get with Odell, and he went to a place where he's going to be the main guy along with Mark Andrews, and he's going to put his name back out there that he can still be the top receiver, which I still think he is one of the top receivers in the Super Bowl performance. Proved that, because I mean, I know Cooper Kupp won the MVP that year, Super Bowl MVP that year. But, I mean, Odell was on pace to win that Super Bowl MVP if he didn't get hurt.
I'm looking forward to some of those practice highlights.
Yeah.
Odell versus Marlon Humphrey.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be exciting.
Yeah, especially when you consider Alabama. You looked at a couple years ago when Odell was in Cleveland. They had a little tussle there when Marlon was covering Odell. And another interesting Cleveland note here, the last time Odell Beckham Jr. had a 1,000-yard receiving season was during his time in Cleveland, and it was actually the 1 year that Todd Monken was the offensive coordinator, and obviously Todd Monken is now going to be the new offensive coordinator for the Baltimore Ravens. So last time OBJ had 1,000 yards, Todd Monken was his OC, and now Todd Monken going back to the NFL after two very successful years at Georgia, and he's going to be pairing back up with OBJ. And I did see, like you were talking about, Nick, that screenshot that Lamar posted with him and OBJ on FaceTime, and I think there may be an interesting strategy here, because like you said, that 15 is going to OBJ and not Lamar Jackson's contract, but maybe if OBJ can convince Lamar to take a deal and come back long term to the Ravens, I would say that's $15 million well spent.
And I mean, I think the Ravens are not done at receiver. I'm definitely going to see them drafting. Hopefully, I mean, they're scheduled to visit with Jackson, Smith, and Jigba, which that would be another. Hopefully, I really want to see that happen. I just want Lamar, because he's a Raven. He needs help. I mean, you can't just run, can't just use your legs all the time. You need help around you. And he's been not the healthiest, so you got to give him weapons around you so he's not having to force the runs and force passes, because put his body on the line almost every play.
Yeah, you get hit a lot as a runner.
Yep.
You tend not to last as long, right? You look at guys who have lasted the longest in the NFL, they're pocket passer guys, and then you look at guys like Cam Newton, and, well, when you take that many hits as a running quarterback, it tends not to go so well. But, yeah, OBJ is going to be paired up with the likes of Rashad Bateman, who I think is a very good receiver, kind of a young, aspiring receiver. Where was he from? Minnesota, right?
Minnesota.
Minnesota, right. And he was in the same draft class as, I think, Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle and Jamar Chase. And he's done pretty well for the Ravens. He'll be a nice number two to OBJ's number one. Do they still have Sammy Watkins on their roster?
I don't know if he's signed for multiple years, but I can look that up.
I know we finished last season with them. They had signed DeSean Jackson, but they let him go. I think DeSean Jackson just is at this point a little too old to do what he was.
Yeah, it looks like Sammy Watkins is going to be a free agent this year.
Yeah,
and so Hollywood Brown, he's gone too.
Yeah,
Hollywood Brown traded to the Arizona Cardinals to reunite with his college teammate Kyler Murray. But yeah, no, I mean, I think they have a solid receiver room. And then when you look at the likes of Andrews at tight end, one of the better tight ends in the NFL, a very versatile tight end, and you compare him with Todd Monken and what he likes to do with the tight ends. We have seen how he's used the likes of Brock Bowers at Georgia and Darnell Washington at Georgia. Very creative with his usage of tight ends. They have a very solid offensive line, good running backs. They always have a good run game at Baltimore, really good defense. I think they'll be pretty competitive. I mean, honestly, when you look at this roster, this is a roster that could, with Lamar Jackson coming back and being healthy for the entire season, this could potentially contend for a Super Bowl with this roster. So if you're a Ravens fan, you are excited because Lamar Jackson hopefully will be returning to an even better wide receiver room here with the addition of OBJ. And you know what? If OBJ does really well in Baltimore, maybe they extend him. I don't know. But, you know, the Ravens have always done well with older receivers. You think of, like, Steve Smith Sr. when he was there. He was up in his 30s. They do well with these older receivers. And I still believe OBJ's got plenty of gas left in the tank and can still be a very, really, like, a top-flight receiver in the NFL. He just has to get over some of these injuries, which is a nice transition into our next topic here. Tyreek Hill says he will be playing out the rest of his contract with the Miami Dolphins and will likely retire from the NFL and explore coaching, which would mean that the 2025 season would be his last in the NFL. And he is currently 29. Which is kind of, you know, you think about receivers and where they age out. You know, the 30s seems to be where some of these guys start to lose a step.
Yep.
Maybe not quite as shifty, and the age starts to take a toll, and you're putting so much stress on some of these tough, soft tissue parts of your bodies. Like you think of Julio Jones, maybe, and what he had to go through, constantly cutting and planting your foot in the ground and changing direction. So he will potentially pursue coaching. Now, the question is, do you actually think he's going to retire at the end of the 2025 season? So, Bennett, let's get your take on this. Do you think Tyreek Hill is going to retire after the 2025 season?
I don't know. He's so much faster than everybody else on the field. Like, when he gets older, he may slow down a little bit, but he's still going to be faster than the majority of the cornerbacks and the defensive backs in the NFL. So if he wants to retire, if he's done with football, then that's really going to be up to him because his ability is still going to be better than most of the receivers in the NFL. And there's going to be plenty of teams that will still want him in 5-6 years from now. Now, I am a big Dolphins fan now, following Tua and Jalen Waddle and all the Alabama players that have gone on to play for Miami. So I hope Tyreek and Tua and Jalen all stay on the same team. It was such a fun team to watch this past season. Hopefully everybody stays healthy this year.
Yeah, I mean, players will just say all this stuff, and I don't know. I don't know. It just depends where he's at. If he's still playing at an elite level, I think he'll just keep going. It depends. I mean, he's still signed with – is that when his contract ends in 2025, or is he playing – like, is he ending before that?
I think he'll play through the 2025 season. Okay. I'm not entirely sure.
Yeah, I guess it just depends. I mean, I could see him definitely being going into business and coaching. I mean, he plays a lot of video games. I could see him becoming a content creator for video games. I mean, he's a funny guy. He's a good, I mean, really good football player with great minds. I mean, he was undrafted. He has a great story. I mean, he would be a really good coach to guys who are maybe not at get drafted. And, I mean, underdog story. I mean, what he's done in the league has just been absurd, and he's – I mean, one of the best receivers in the league, without a doubt. And, yeah, I'm just excited for what him and Tua are going to do again next year because that was a really electric team to watch.
Yeah, so he signed a 4-year deal with the Dolphins. He's played 1 year of it already, which would mean that the end of the 2025 season looks like that would be his final year. I would suppose so. Yep, that would track because one season with a 4-year deal. 3 more years left. He'll play this year, the 2023-2024 season, and then 2024-2025. And then I guess the 2025-2026 season will be his last season in the NFL if he decides to retire. All right, we're going to continue to talk about this particular storyline when we come back from the break, because this is probably going to put a lot of pressure on the Dolphins to win now, given that their star receiver might retire soon.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
Right, Tuscaloosa, welcome back to the student section. All right, we left off on the break talking about Tyreek Hill, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, announcing that he is likely going to retire at the end of his contract with the Miami Dolphins. He signed a four-year deal with the Dolphins, has played 1 year with the Dolphins so far, so only three more seasons in Miami, and Tyreek Hill says he will more than likely retire and pursue coaching at the end of that. He is currently 29 years old, so he'll be in his early 30s by the time that his contract is up. But when you look at Miami right now, they have invested a lot into this team, right? They're bringing in Vic Fangio, one of the highest paid defensive coordinators in the NFL, bringing in Bradley Chubb, trading for Tyreek Hill, drafting guys like Jalen Waddle, signing Raheem Mostert at the running back position, bringing in Terrion Armstead, one of the better left tackles in all of football. Now they've traded for Jalen Ramsey, one of the better corners, to pair with Xavien Howard, who's also a great corner. So, Bennett, do you think that this is going to put more pressure on Miami to win now, given that Tyreek Hill may only have three seasons left in the NFL?
I think it certainly does. I mean, you look at what you just said, all the moves that they made, those players, all their contracts are likely pretty similar as to when they're going to have to be re-signed and, you know, retweaked. So they definitely have to, you know, get going and have the mindset to win now. Pretty much all the NFL, their mindset is win now. I mean, that's been a change ever since the Rams did it a few years ago with the Super Bowl. Like, everybody is in win now all the time. But the Dolphins especially, now that Tyreek said that, he's done in 2025, 2026, they have got to get on it. They have got to take advantage of these next couple of years when they've got Tyreek Hill, one of the better weapons, if not the best receiver in the NFL right now. He has got to play, and the Dolphins need to get on it.
Yeah, the Dolphins need to keep Tua protected, need to keep him safe. I mean, he's had his fair share of injuries. Hopefully he can have a healthy season, because they were certainly on track to have a chance to win that division. And it only makes more exciting football when you have, when you're not having Skylar Thompson as your quarterback and you're having Tua Tagovailoa as your quarterback. It just makes the game much more appealing. And I mean, the fact that they had a chance to win that game in Buffalo was funny. If they had Tua, they probably win that game. So I'm excited for what they do for the upcoming year. They got tons of weapons on the team, and they have really good defensive backs coming in. They still have forgot the guy's name. Who's a Bradley Chubb on that
Bradley
team.
Bradley Chubb, yeah.
Yep. So, I mean, they are gonna, hopefully they gel in the offseason, and I expect that defense to be a lot better than it was last year, because that secondary was one of the worst in the leagues.
Well, you got X-Men there. Xavien Howard is a really good corner. You got Javon Holland, the safety out of Oregon a couple years ago, who's really good.
Yeah, he's been good. Xavien Howard kind of struggled this year. Hopefully he gets back on track.
Yeah. It was, what was it, a couple seasons ago where he was one of,
I think it was 2 years ago, he had like the most interceptions in the league or something.
Yeah, he was at the top of his game.
He's a ball hawk, that's for sure. He did not get very many, but you don't want him anywhere near.
And they really don't have to guard for that long. You got former Bama guy, Raekwon Davis, he was so fun to watch. Yep. And then Christian Wilkins out of Clemson.
Oh, yeah,
those two in the middle.
I love watching Christian Wilkins.
Those are tough to block.
Yep, and they drafted, what was his name, Jalen Phillips
from
Miami.
He's been good.
Yeah,
really good. I mean, they're probably weakest is that linebacker on that defense.
And they're not bad at linebacker, honestly. What is it, Andrew Van Ginkle there?
Yep,
so not terrible at linebacker either. And like we said, Vic Fangio is a great defensive mind. Was the head coach of the Broncos a couple seasons ago. Worked as a defensive coordinator for the Bears. He has been around for a while and is highly regarded by many coaches. In fact, when you talk to Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the 49ers, and one of the most creative offensive minds in the NFL, the guy that he hates trying to game plan against the most is Vic Fangio. He says that Vic Fangio's defense gives his offense the hardest time, which is interesting because Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Dolphins, was the OC at the 49ers for several years, so he got to see how hard it is to scheme against Vic Fangio's defense. So I'm very excited for the Dolphins, and like we talked about last week, this is one of the best divisions in all of football right now, with the Dolphins where they are, the Bills where they are, the Jets where they are going to be when they finally land Aaron Rodgers in the deal that they're expected to sign at some point with the Green Bay Packers. And then, of course, the Patriots, who were in playoff contention and now have gotten a lot better by hiring an actual offensive coach to coordinate the offense. I'm interested to see how that shakes out. I like what they've added at the receiver position as well. So, very deep division, a lot of good teams, two former Alabama quarterbacks going to be duking it out. I cannot wait. My two favorite teams in the NFL are the Dolphins and the Patriots, so we'll be watching to see which one of those teams has the most success. I'd put my money on the Dolphins right now.
Hopefully both of them for Tua and Mac's sake.
Yep.
Absolutely. Speaking of Alabama, Nick Saban had his press conference after Friday's scrimmage. Nick Saban spoke very highly of the offense in his press conference. I'm sure you both watched it. Very encouraging coming from Nick Saban. Talked about both of the, you know, returning quarterbacks who are in this battle, this competition, whatever you want to call it. Jalen Milroe and Ty Simpson. Jalen Milroe is entering his third year here at Alabama. Ty Simpson entering his second. Both of those guys are incredibly talented. Milroe has been running with the ones, I believe, for the most part, and Ty Simpson running with the twos, but it does seem like they're both getting some opportunities to run with the ones.
Yeah, I mean, they're both going to be getting pretty much probably like 60% to 40% of the reps right now, if I had to guess. I mean, you got to give both all quarterbacks, especially right now since you don't have a definitive quarterback one, every quarterback should deserve the same chance. I mean, we still got – I mean, it looks like Caleb Lonergan was able to play and Eli Holstein, so that's good that all quarterbacks have to play and that they all played good, so that's good.
Yep, Dylan Lonergan, also going to be playing baseball for Alabama, hopefully.
Yeah, and it was nice to see. I mean, I've heard Malik Benson's been getting a lot of praise, the JUCO wide receiver.
Yeah.
And hoping that he has a big season because he was catching balls from Bryce Young during the pro day.
Yeah, so, super fast.
Yep, and seeing scouts are raving of him already, so hopefully he is not looking into the spotlight already, and hopefully he can have a big year, which, I mean,
yeah, that was something
a lot of
needed.
Hype around
it.
Yeah,
that extra gear last season, that speed that Benson's going to bring.
Yeah,
and I'm excited about the wide receiver group that we have.
Yep.
We got the killer bees: Benson, Bond, Burton, and Brooks.
Yeah,
and then you got Kobe Prentice, the Crimson Menace.
That's right.
I'm getting excited.
Where
talking
are you coming
about
up
right
with
now.
These names?
You didn't even tell
me this before the show, but I'm gonna have to.
I didn't come
down.
Up with them. Somebody else did.
The Crimson.
You got the big baller brand receivers.
Kobe Prentice, the Crimson Menace.
That's him.
Yeah, you need to get me in touch with the person who come up with this name. This is incredible.
That's right.
I don't even know where you're coming up with this stuff. But yeah, no, Nick Saban's talked really highly of these receivers this offseason. Isaiah Bond had a good spring, it looks like. I expect him to be our starting slot receiver. But you know, Alabama, they like to rotate receivers around. They'll have guys playing inside, outside, wherever. Malik Benson, I think, with his speed, could fight for potentially that wide receiver one position, that X receiver position, which Jermaine Burton had last season. And Nick Saban did talk about Jermaine Burton. obviously very talented player, a guy with a lot of ability, and flashed at times last season. Had a great game against...
Yeah, he had a great Sugar Bowl against Kansas State.
Kansas State. I'm like, why am I thinking of Kentucky? That's not the right team. Kansas State. The Wildcats, yes, had a great game against them. Did well against Auburn in the Iron Bowl. It seems like Nick Saban says consistency is going to be key for Jermaine Burton. If he can lock in those consistency things, Ja'Cory Brooks is a highly slept-on guy. I'm excited about Kendrick Law, who we saw a little bit. I think he can be very Deebo Samuel-esque. He's built like a Deebo Samuel, like a small running back, but a large receiver, and I think that he could be somebody we use in a really interesting sort of gadget way, super fast as well.
One other name to keep an eye on, Cole Adams. That was one guy that Coach Saban has said that he's had a really, really consistent spring so far, and he used the really, really when referring to him. If he uses two reallys, you know he means it.
Yeah, Cole Adams looks like a souped-up Slade Bolden to me when I watch his tape.
I think he's faster than Slade.
Yeah, so he's a souped-up Slade Bolden. He's a little faster, going to be a little quicker. If he can find the zone like Slade did, because one thing about Slade Bolden that nobody really talks about, they overlook him all the time. He could break down zone coverage really well, and he would find these pockets in zone coverage and just sit there and get open. And that's what you want from your slot receivers, is guys who can play in the middle of the field and just find pockets to get open, and then you can make plays. Nick Saban did talk a lot about Tommy Rees, though. He's very complimentary of our new offensive coordinator, said that the players love Tommy Rees. I heard one of the players during their press conference say he's younger so he can relate to them more. Tommy Rees is 30, so he is a lot younger than the 50-plus-year-old Bill O'Brien that we just had. Nick Saban talked about the run schematics and how they are tied together to the play-action pass. So I think what Alabama is going to do is be a little more multiple with our formations, be a little more multiple with the movement and shifts. Cole Kublik is a guy that I encourage all of our listeners to listen to. He is out of Birmingham Jocks.
94.5.
Yep, Jocks 94.5, and also the Cole Kublik Show on YouTube. And he talked about Tommy Rees and the way he runs his offense. It's a motion-based offense, so you use all this motion before the snap to get these favorable matchups, and it's very comparable to Steve Sarkisian's offense. And I think if there's one guy that Alabama fans would like to have back in terms of coordinators over the past several years, probably be Steve Sarkisian. Maybe him or Kirby Smart. I think it's one of those two. Steve Sarkisian did a great job of lining up guys. I mean, national championship game, he got Devontae Smith on a linebacker. How? I don't know, but he did. So I'm very excited about what our offense will be. On the defensive side of things, true freshman Caleb Downs is getting some playing time at the star position, which is what Brian Branch played for Alabama last season. So I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up becoming our star. He's, I think, right under 6 feet. If you look at the legit measurements, I think Alabama has him at 6 foot, but they did. They had the same for Bryce Young, who's like 5'10".
Go look at a picture of him. He's built.
Yeah, yeah.
He does not look like a freshman.
No, he's getting comparisons to Micah Fitzpatrick already, which is massive praise. Because Micah was one of the best prospects that Nick Saban has ever produced at Alabama, regardless of position. So I think Caleb Downs is going to see the field early. Another note is Tremez Marshall, who is the transfer linebacker from Georgia. Nick Saban's praising him a lot. Obviously familiar with the defensive schemes. Kirby runs the same defense that he learned from Nick Saban, so it's similar defense, similar terminology. For those of you who don't know, Kevin Steele also mentored Kirby Smart. When Steele was the DC at Florida State, Kirby was there, and Steele was also the associate head coach of defense when Kirby finally took over as DC at Alabama. So Kevin Steele has been mentoring Kirby Smart alongside Nick Saban for a long time. So very similar defensive approach. Tremez Marshall, an older guy, very comfortable with it, and I think he will probably see some playing time at that inside linebacker position as well.
Yeah, you've got Deontay Lawson. He's been out for the spring, so it's allowed some of these other guys to get more reps and get more experience. And Trez Marshall has been one of the guys that's really benefited from that, and I think he's had a really, really good spring as well. I'm looking forward to seeing Sean Murphy as another guy I'd like to look at during the 8A game as well. And the linebacker position as a whole, I think that's one that we want to get back to having the Reuben Fosters, the C.J. Mosleys, Dante Hightowers, the guys that everybody knows, the household names, the guys that you don't want to see as a running back coming through the hole.
Absolutely, which is a good transition into our next segment, as we are going to be talking about some A-Day superlatives when we come back from the break.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.
All right, welcome back to the student section. We left off talking about Nick Saban and his press conference after the scrimmage. And speaking of scrimmages, Alabama is set to have their final big scrimmage of the spring in the A-Day game. Coming up in two Saturdays, I believe, the 22nd of, what month are we in? April?
April.
April, yeah, geez. It's been that kind of day. But there's going to be a lot of things to look at in terms of this A-Day game. Obviously, you're going to have some major position battles. So, Nick, I'll start with you. What are the positions that you're going to be looking at the hardest this A-Day game?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with the backfield, quarterback and running back. Running back, just because there's so many guys that, I mean, you have Jace McClellan, who's been, hasn't had his full year as a starter. He's been the second guy. Roydell Williams is going to, who's had, I mean, him and Jace have been splitting carries for the past year. And then you have Jamarian Miller, who shined in late games, in blowout games, and then you have Justice Haynes, who five-star coming in, who's I've heard nothing but great things about him. He'll be an exciting player to watch. And I just think when you're four deep like that, and it's going to make excitement when fans want to see where you're deep at in positions and what you're good at. And then running is definitely going to be a strength of this team. And also quarterback, when you have two guys coming in who did not start, and you want to know something about your team. You want to have optimism into the offseason and before heading into August and fall camp. You want to be able to know that your team's in good hands, and being able to watch Ty Simpson and Jalen Milroe compete next Saturday is going to be fantastic to watch, and will make it more people will want to watch A-Day. It's going to suck that it's not going to be on national TV. It's going to be on SEC Network Plus, but they're going to have to show Colorado and Georgia, but not Alabama. Yeah, it's funny. But, just quarterback and running back is what I want to see.
Yeah, very interesting to look here. I don't know if Jace McClellan will be in that game due to his injuries that he's been getting over, but Roydell Williams, Jam Miller, Justice Hayes, those guys should definitely be getting a lot of work there. And then, of course, you'll have later on Richard Young joining that room summer.
Yeah, I forgot about him.
I think, round out all of the running backs in our running back room outside of our walk-on. So you'll probably see a lot of Justice Hayes, a lot of Jam Miller, and a lot of Roydell Williams, seeing as how those are the only three healthy running backs who will likely be active for the spring game. All right, Bennett, what positions are you going to be looking at the hardest during the A-Day game?
I'm going to be looking at the big men up front. You look at the last scrimmage this past Friday, left tackle they had Elijah Pritchett, left guard Darian Dalcourt, center Seth McLaughlin, right guard Tyler Booker, and right tackle J.C. Latham. All five of those guys, they are stars and they are ready to go. But then you got the second team. You got left tackle, freshman Wilkin Formby, Terrence Ferguson at left guard, James Brockermeyer at center, Jaden Roberts right guard, and Caden Proctor, the name that everybody knows by now, the five-star big guy up front playing tackle. First team also saw some reps from Dalcourt at center and Ferguson at left guard. So this is a group that I really want to see because I think we're getting back to running the football. We're going to get back to running the football with Reese at the coordinator position. We are going to run the football. And I can't say that enough. You go back and look at the size of this offensive line. Here's a comparison of 2012. The average weight was 319 pounds, average height just over 6'4". Then last year, the average weight, 308, it dipped a little bit over 10 years, and the height dipped a little bit too, just over 6'4". Then we come this year. Now we're averaging 316 pounds back up to 6'5". So we are getting bigger, we're getting stronger, and we're getting faster. This offensive line, keep an eye on these big men up front. It's going to be a good unit.
Yeah, that's definitely a position that you have to watch. I've always felt like the offensive line, you can glean a lot from watching the O-line at the A-Day game because offensive line, they have to work together. There's a level of comfortability that the guys build with each other, and they work together best when they are familiar with who they are beside. So oftentimes, you'll see coaches kind of want to have the offensive line set earlier on in the season. That way, those guys can get familiar with each other. So that starting line off that you listed there with Latham, McLaughlin at center, Dalcourt and Booker at guards, and then Pritchett at left tackle. That's sort of been the starting lineup that I've been seeing throughout the spring as well. I would expect that to be the number one unit for the A-Day game and maybe even what it's going to look like in the fall.
And then the offensive line, these guys are going to be the most competitive at A-Day game. Remember what's at stake here. Franken beans or steak. You think the offensive line wants to eat Franken beans? They're going to go after the steak meal.
It's not like Auburn where you start up 24-0 and they both teams tie and then you have to eat. I mean, what, is everybody getting a steak dinner for tying or are they eating hot dogs?
No way. Tying's the worst. Coach Bryant used to say tying is like kissing your sister. That's just terrible.
I mean, can't tie in football.
It's
a weird, really weird A-Day that Auburn had. I mean, it was kind of cool with they set up scenarios, but you got to have it tied to start the game.
Yeah, no. It'll start 0-0 here in Tuscaloosa where we do things the right way. I would not expect that to happen. Now, you talked about linebackers before we went off air for our second break there, and I think that will be a huge position to look at because the only guy that we know will likely start is not going to be there due to injury, and his name escapes me in this current moment.
Deontay Lawson.
Yeah. Thank you. But you'll have guys like Kendrick Blackshire there, Sean Murphy, and I think Saban even mentioned Sean Murphy as like a situational player. So he may be more of like a pass coverage type linebacker. Same with the JUCO transfer, Justin Jefferson. They're not quite as heavy. They're not going to be as good at, you know, hitting running backs in the backfield and things like that. But they're going to be really good when they're matched up against some receivers or tight ends who are receiving threats. The position that I will be looking at the most, though, is the safety position. A lot of churn at safety. You lose your top three safeties with Brian Branch gone, who was that slot star money kind of player. And then you got DeMarco Helms, who is now headed for the NFL, as well as Jordan Battle, who is headed for the NFL. So your top three starting safeties are all gone. It looks like they've started Malachi Moore at that safety position at times. You'll see Caleb Downs play. Maybe it's a Christian Story, maybe it's a Devontae Smith, maybe it's a Jake Pope. You're going to have a lot of people there. And I'll be watching the safety position hard because I want to see who are some of these guys that can flash and maybe earn some rotation, because I wouldn't be shocked if we do a little rotating at that safety position as well, especially in the very first game against Middle Tennessee State.
Earl Little Jr. is one of those guys. I think he started at Star this past Friday scrimmage. He showed a lot of potential. Obviously, you said Caleb Downs. And then Terrion Arnold, we saw him at corner this past year. And I thought he played pretty well overall. Some guys criticized him. But then they also worked him at the Star position as well. So you got a lot of guys getting reps at different spots. So it's definitely going to be interesting to watch for 8A.
I'm very excited for Terrion Arnold. I think him and Kuwait are kind of on that same arc. They both had games where they got baptized, both of their first years. And then Kuwait next year was one of the best corners. I mean, this past season was one of the best corners in the SEC. Hopefully, the arc of Terrion Arnold blooms into that. And he got his. What happens when you go into SEC football as a first year player? You're gonna get picked on and
absolutely.
And he's gonna shine. I have a very high hopes for him.
Yeah, he played safety in high school. He was trained a little bit at corner. Came into Alabama. They moved him over to corner. And obviously this past season, that was kind of his first year legitimately playing corner. Made a couple mental errors. Definitely got beat several times throughout the season. Receivers blowing past him because it's a lot on the corners in this Alabama defensive system. The way that we run our system, Nick Saban demands a lot from the corners. And when you've never really played corner and you've spent most of your life playing safety, it's quite an adjustment. Although, given what I've seen from the footage and what I've heard from Nick Saban and then today Terrion Arnold at his press conference, it does seem like Kool-Aid McKinstry is going to be cornerback one, and Terrion Arnold will start opposite of Kool-Aid. So you can feel pretty confident that the starting two corners, unless something unforeseen happens, will be Terrion Arnold and Kool-Aid McKinstry opposite of each other, which is what we started with last season, right? Terrion Arnold started as CB2 last year and will probably start at CB2 again this year. But where I'm interested to see is that star position. And like you mentioned, Earl Little Jr., does he play there? Do they keep Malachi Moore at the star position, right? That's what he had been playing for the longest time, and they had moved him at safety, and they played him back at star. Do they move Caleb Downs to star, right? Do they let Earl Little Jr., who is a corner on our team, not a safety, but do they have him play star, right? Ultimately, you're going to have the best guys at every position play on the field when the fall rolls around. But as of right now, a lot of question marks at the safety position. But keeping things on the A-Day game, Hugh Freeze made a comment at one of his press conferences recently about how they approach spring games. And he threw out the idea that maybe Auburn plays a Troy, Alabama plays a UAB or a South Alabama, that these big-time programs like Alabama, like Auburn, instead of playing the second team against the first team and it's just the University of Alabama or it's just Auburn, maybe they bring in another team from across the state, likely not each other, but South Alabama, a Troy, UAB, something like that, to come in and play against Alabama or Auburn during the spring games. So Bennett, give me your opinion. Would you like this format?
I'm not a huge fan of it. When you go to the 8A game, you want to see Alabama. You come to see Alabama. You come to watch all the young guys. You want to see the main guys. but I think it provides another opportunity to get all the younger players more experience in a game type of situation in front of a good bit of fans as well. I think that's a big deal, and I would like to see it continue to remain the same. And now you talk about the transfer portal too. You need another scrimmage to give coaches the opportunity to get a full evaluation of their roster and to kind of be honest with some of their players. Hey, look, you might not be able to play as much as what you think you will. And, you know, then they'd be able to go and enter the transfer portal. So I think because of that reason, it needs to remain the same.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with what you're saying. I'm for it, and I'm against it because you get more chances to see more guys, more newer guys. But for it because you get a little, I mean, I think higher stakes. I mean, you bragging rights. I know it would be against like a Troy or UAB, but still that's an in-state team. And it would just be good to see guys playing not against each other because they're going to be playing against each other all fall. But it's nice that you get to have Nick Saban on the field during the whole game because he can analyze it much better when he's behind the play when he's on the side. So again, it'll be good for both because I think if you did play a UAB or a Troy or something like that, you would have you could do it for charity and more. I think more fans would definitely come out if it's against another team because 8A crowd's nice, but when you're playing against another team, more people will want to see that.
Yeah, you're going to bring in fans from the other university as well as Alabama fans. And I did see that it could potentially be for charity, which obviously is important. And Nick Saban was asked about this, and he said that obviously he's all for charity. And any way that him and Miss Terry can help contribute to giving to people who need help, they are all for. And I did see Trent Dilfer, who, by the way, is now the head coach of the UAB Blazers, if you didn't know. Super Bowl winning quarterback, who I think was the head coach at like a high school last year.
Yeah, he was a head coach in like a Nashville high school.
Yeah, a private high school. He's now the head coach at UAB. He said that he would be all for it as well. So it looks like you have some potential coaches on board with this concept. Whether or not it's feasible, I don't know, because I do believe that this gives the opportunity for the second team and the third team guys, even the fourth team guys, they get to play a little more when it's just the roster from one school on the field at the same time instead of two schools. So I don't know how I feel about this. Plus, I don't know if, you know, to me, like the spring game, you hop on your bus and you head over and you eat after and everything like that. Would you really like to say, you know, bye-bye South Alabama, thanks for coming to Tuscaloosa, now hop on a bus and drive 3+ hours back to Mobile before you guys can, you know, kind of rest? And
it'd be nice if they did it like regional, like Auburn would play at Troy or something, and like Alabama UAB, because it's only an hour drive.
Not very far away from UAB. Definitely something that I think will be considered. How seriously, I don't know, but it's an option that looks like could be tossed around a little bit. And I think there are definitely some positives and negatives, as with all things. All right, that's going to do it for us here at the student section. Thank you so much for tuning in. Be sure to check us out on our website, WVUAFM.com. You can find us under programming and podcasts. We will talk to you next week. Be sure to continue to tune in as there is constantly news being updated around college football and the NFL. And we are your one-stop shop for all of your football news. Thank you so much.
WVUA-FM, Tuscaloosa.